Father, there are questions in our hearts, and there are things we may not know. Thank you that you said when we labor, when we are heavy laden, we can come to you and you will give us rest. Lord, some of us have labored all day. We've gone to work, gone to school. We've been involved in academic stuff. And Lord, we just need rest. We ask, as you've promised us rest, Lord Jesus, our great high priest, we receive rest from you tonight. And thank you, Father, breathe upon us again. Holy Spirit, give everyone, every heart listening to this, breathe and give every heart inspiration to hear you, to understand the word of the Lord, and to do what you are saying to us at this time and different seasons, different levels of our lives. So, Father, we just give you praise, we give you glory, because you will send your word. Your word will heal, your word will deliver, your word will give understanding to the simple, and your word will deliver us from what can destroy us, and will not return to you void, except what you want is accomplished in every life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Revelation and chapter number 19. Come with us tonight to Revelation and chapter number 19. That will be our foundational underlining scripture. The topic again, you know, this month we will be looking at the Bride of Christ. Last week, when we had the communion service, you know, we just looked at three places in the Bible where God stopped for his bride. And by his bride, if you followed from last week, we're talking about you. We're talking about me. We are the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ just simply means that we have a bridegroom, and Jesus is that bridegroom, and the entire mankind, he wants to be his bride. So that is the beauty of what we are looking at tonight. And you're joining us, and especially those of us who are not yet married. I believe God has a word for you to prepare you. For those, whether male or female, God has a word to prepare you. And for those who are married already, God has a word again to probably heal our homes, or help us and rekindle some fire in us, and help us to get the right adjustments that we might need to. So, topic again, are you ready to be his bride? So let us go to Revelation and chapter number 19. And let's read Revelation chapter number 19. Let's read from, in context, let's read from verse 1 so that it helps us to actually see this bride. So we're going to read from verse 1 to verse number 9. Revelation chapter 19, from verse 1 to verse number 9. So, and I read, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her blood, on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Verse 3 says again, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down, and they worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, this is verse 6 where we want to start zeroing upon. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Verse 7, let us rejoice, let us be glad. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And look at this, and his wife has, please emphasize, has made herself ready. Listen, let's pause there a bit. The marriage of the Lamb. The Lamb here is, you know, the Lamb of God, according to scriptures, is Jesus. Jesus is the express image of God. So this is now Jesus, the Lamb, marrying his bride. And who are his bride? If you read in context, you will see it talks about people, great multitude. It talks about, you know, people from, you know, when you read it in other translations, a multitude. And this is just the church, the body of Christ. That's people. The church is not the building. The church is, you know, people who have received the salvation that Jesus came to give all of mankind by dying on the cross, shedding his blood, so that he can reconcile us back to God the Father. That's just the Heavenly Father. So he is ready. His marriage is about to happen, according to the scriptures. But look at this. The bride has made herself ready. The bride is not going to start getting ready. The marriage of the Lamb cannot commence without, you know, when you look at the physical, the marriages cannot commence without the bride getting ready and is ready, and then the marriage is, you know, consummated. So the bride, his wife, has made herself ready. And that's where the question tonight comes from. Are you ready to be his bride? Are you ready? Has made herself ready. So let's read verse number 8 and 9, where we will just wrap up and then we will look at some things tonight. So verse 8 says, and to her, remember she was ready in verse 7, and because she's ready, she's now granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then verse number 9, then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. You see, in the course of this study, we'll be looking at, you know, over the next couple of weeks, and just this will be a little bit of an intro. We will be looking at a case study of two queens in the Bible. One was already a queen, but then she was rejected. And another queen was brought in her place. I'm talking about Queen Vashti and Esther. In the course of this study, we'll be looking at the qualities of a bride that will be chosen. Because listen, there are many women, there are potential brides, but not every bride, every woman will be chosen. Do you know why? Because they are not ready. If you want to be chosen, then you've got to be ready. Not going to be ready. You see, you don't marry, and after you marry, you're not starting getting ready. You're not start preparing for marriage. The marriage of the Lamb comes because the bride all the while has been prepared and made ready. We will see that when we're looking at, you know, the case study of Queen Vashti and Esther. You will see that there was a preparation before the marriage itself, before being chosen. Then we will look at an interesting story that was, you know, I was talking behind the scene with our brother who led us on the prayer altar before we started this live broadcast, you know, looking at the 10 virgins in the Bible Jesus spoke about. The 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. So we're going to look at all this, and it will help us to see if indeed we are ready. You see, the ultimate marriage supper, the ultimate marriage takes place not in this earth, but after, in the afterlife. Are you ready for the afterlife? But then, let our focus be on the bride that will be chosen. So what makes a bride to be ready? You see, it's very interesting that in the course of meditating, looking and studying scriptures, I began to see some things I never actually knew myself, you know, especially from the story of those 10 virgins Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 25. You know, I'm excited because some things were revealed, which we will be studying and sharing about. All right. You know, those 10 virgins were actually, historically, virgins were chosen to accompany the bride. In those days, in the times of Jesus, you know, in Bible times, you know, under the Jewish culture, weddings don't just happen. A groom doesn't just wake up one day and says, yeah, I want to get married, and then picks up a girl, and then they get married. A lot of preparation always goes into it. And usually from when they are young, when a man, when a boy potentially becomes a man, like 12, 13, in those under the culture, and also the woman, a girl becomes a woman. That's usually around 12, upwards 13. Right from that young age, they start preparing them for marriage. So the families will have, you know, studied the environment, you know, and looked for a bride for their son. And while they're doing all this searching, any, you know, they find a suitable bride. They have looked at their family, they've looked at the background, they've looked at the you know, the child itself, that's the potential bride. And usually they've made their intentions known. But then they now start preparing. So if I have a daughter in those days, I start preparing my daughter from when she's young to become a bride, to a suitable, a bride that will be suited, you know the word suitor? A suitor is someone looking for a bride. So, but the bride must be suited, prepared to be suited to the suitor. So it's not like, oh yeah, I'm now 30 years old, I want to get married. Yeah, I think I'm old enough. Let's start settling down and get married. Oh yeah, now I'm 40 years old as a man. And I think it's time for me to stop this philandering and settle down and start a family. No, the preparation starts from when that the young age. It starts from when the child is young, not when the child is old. But let me say this, good news. Maybe you have not been preparing since you were young, that one day you will be a responsible groom or a responsible, a prudent, what the Bible refers to as a prudent wife, which we'll see. It's never late. The preparation can start now. Don't wait. You know, some of us, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, are praying for a life partner. But the reality is you shouldn't be praying for a life partner. You should be preparing to become a suitable life partner to another person who has been preparing to be a suitable life partner also. And talking about that, let us start from the book of Genesis. We will see the first bride in the Bible, right? Genesis chapter 2. So please, if you're on Slido, and the hashtag again tonight is Jesus Christ, and you're learning something already or you have some questions, please quickly go on to that Slido, type it in so that we can pick it up and have some very good discussion tonight. Okay? So let us go to that first bride the Bible reveals to us in Genesis chapter number 2. And if you are participating and you can type it in real time, you know, do you know the name of that bride? If you know the name of that bride, please type it on. Type it on in the comments. Let's see it. And please do that quickly, 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 quickly. Glory be to God. You know, what's the name of the first bride? You know, what's the name of the first bride? Let me see if people are commenting. I'm following in real time here also, so I can read the comments, and people behind the scene can also help us pick it up. The name of the first bride in the Bible. Okay, anybody? Please type it in, type it in, type it in. Go on Slido. This media team, be on the alert if anyone's typed in the name of the first bride, because there are some interesting things that we can gloss over and not really see. Let's see this first bride, and let's see the preparation of this first bride in the Bible from Genesis. Thank you. I can see, yes, I can see Wura. You typed Eve. I can see Okwemi Eve. I can see Grandma Eve. Okay, let's see if you are right. Genesis and chapter 2. Now, the background to this story is that God made man, and God made that man to be like him, created in the image and likeness of God. The Bible tells us that male and female, God created them, blessed them, called their name Adam. You see, if you dig into the Bible, you begin to have this understanding. But then there was only one mankind that God first made. God gave him work to do. God put him in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Delight, where he will, you know, find delight, you know, and God will also delight in fellowshipping with his creation that looks just like him. And then one day in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible tells us the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." You know, one version explains it very well, a helper that is suitable. A helper that suits him. That is what I will make for him, because it's not good for him to be alone. And then the story goes on and shows us what God did. God now starts out of the ground, formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brings them to Adam to see what he will call them. Adam was that first man. And the Bible said, whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. The power of Adam's imagination. And we need to understand that it wasn't just a nomenclature Adam was given these animals. What Adam was simply doing was creating the character, the ability, the innate nature for each of these animals. So God will create them, and God will bring the animal. So let's imagine God brings, you know, the tiger. So what Adam was doing is that we saw that animal, and he says, you are a tiger. You will behave like a tiger. You will sound like a tiger. You will do this. That was the creative power that Adam had. So when Adam saw the monkey and he said monkey, he was simply speaking into the life of that animal, what the animal will become and how what the animal will behave like. He was speaking, calling it into being. When he saw the lion, the another animal, he said, you will be lion. You will be the king of the jungle. You will be like this. You will be fearful. You know, all other animals will respect. That was that. It wasn't a naming ceremony. It was more or less Adam in God's stead creating, I'm using the word creating, creating the nature, the character, and the ability which each of these animals would exhibit and become. So he did all that. The Bible said he named all the cattle. He named all the birds. And to every beast, the Bible says, Adam, nobody was found that was comparable to him. Why? Because they were all animals. None of them could have the same nature, character, and ability that Adam himself exhibited, because they were not created like God. They were created as animals. So, carry on with me tonight. So, nobody was suitable. None of those animals, none of those birds were suitable for Adam. So, you know what? God now looked at it. You know, I got an idea. All right? I'm just saying this, right? That's not what God said. But I want us to see the power of the creative power that God himself has given to every one of us, human beings. The power to create, the power to create a solution to a problem. And what was the solution God created here? He made that man to fall into a deep sleep. Listen, if you are a medical doctor or you've heard about medical science and you hear about surgeons today performing surgery, opening people up, going inside, people taking out something and, sewing people back up. You see man performing surgery. You see a child is growing in the womb. They find out the child is not properly in the proper position. And to bring the child up, they have to open the woman and bring the child out. But before they do that, they make the person go into sleep, induced sleep. You know, medical science is really, really, you know, advancing now that they don't even really need to put a human being completely to sleep. They'll just put that part of the body they need to operate on to open to sleep. They deaden it. Man got that inspiration, creative inspiration from God. God was the first surgeon. So God performs this operation, gives the guy, induced him into a coma, induced coma, right? And then the Bible said, Adam slept. And God now took one of his ribs to let you know that God had to open up that flesh to literally cut him open. The Bible says he now closed up that flesh in its place. So God takes that rib, the Bible now tells us, and he took it from the man, and from it he made into a woman. Listen, and then he brought that woman, her, to the man. Stop there. Now look at the creative ability. Look at what God did to solve a problem of looking for what will be suitable, comparable to Adam. Someone like him, suited to him. Animals could not suit him. I know people are fighting for animal rights nowadays. I know people are saying, you know, a dog is my best friend, a dog is your best friend. I prefer hanging out with cats and dogs. than human beings and all that. Listen, you are not in the same league. An animal can never be suitable to a human being. You are not. Animals cannot think like, they are not suitable. They are not comparable. The best you can get from an animal is to tame the animal, you know, train the animal, make the animal do things. And I'm telling you something, listen, by the Spirit of God, maybe that's what some people are trying to do to their spouses. You cannot train and tame, and let me use the word tame, and control another human being. They are not animals. Everyone's got a mind of its own, including that child that's just born an hour ago, or even some few minutes ago. The child has a mind of its own, waiting to be impacted, molded, shaped, influenced. So let us understand that nothing compares to you except another human being. Another human being. So God, look at what God does. God now puts this man to sleep, opens him up, takes a rib out, and from that rib makes someone comparable, suited, just like that man. Who was this? A woman, the first bride in the Bible. What I'm just trying to let us see is that the bride did not just come from nowhere. The bride was prepared, made ready before being brought to the man, Adam. So the first bride was made ready. Made ready and brought to the man. Listen, if she was not ready, if she was not, you know, God did not finish the work to make her into a woman like the man, there would be no marriage. Mr. Adam would not have chosen Mrs. Eve. Mrs. Eve could have just been any other thing. But Adam immediately, look at what he said, recognizes that this looks like me. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she's just like me. Oh, come on. I'm going to call her something. Look at the prophetic word again. Remember, Adam named all the birds, named all the animals, named all the beasts in the field, the birds of the air. He gave each one of them their nature, their character, their ability, just by speaking into their lives. Speaking into, you know. So I tell people, and note of caution to those who are married or those who are about to marry, watch what you call your spouse. Whatever you call your spouse is what they will become to you. Watch it. Your spouse is not an animal to be tamed. Your spouse is not an animal to be controlled. Your spouse is not an animal to be trained by you. Right? Watch what you call your spouse. Stop complaining. If they become anything to you, probably is what you have been calling them, what you created out of them. I mean, I've heard all sorts of names, name calling by spouses, you know? And, you know, I know we use the word pet names. You know, I have got a pet name for my, you know, for my boo, for my husband, for my wife. Are you kidding me? Please, whatever pet name you call your spouse, make sure it's not the name of an animal. Make sure it is not an animal. For example, I think there's a bird called Nightingale. Call your wife Nightingale. One day she will fly away from you. Are you getting me? Call your husband my lion. Listen, one day that lion may devour you. Call your spouse what you want them to become, what God calls them. Oh, my wife, you are wonderfully, fearfully made. You remind me of God. You are a virtuous woman. Oh, your price is far above rubies. You know, my heart safely trusts in you. Prophesy, speak into your spouse. Stop complaining. Listen, the more you complain about your spouse, the more you will get what you complain, because you are simply creating and recreating and creating more trouble for yourself. Listen, get on your knees, repent, and stop the name calling you've been calling each other. Husband and wife, listen to me. And those about to get married, and you know, you don't know how to, you've got to be ready first. When you are ready, you will be chosen. Right? What is the topic again tonight? Are you ready to be his bride? This is just an introduction tonight. And we see the first, the very, very, very first bride in the Bible. She was made ready before she was brought to the man. And the man recognized, Mr. Adam recognized Eve and said to, this is the bone of my bones. This is the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, look at it, gave her a name. That word woman is the man that carries the womb. The womb man, the part of mankind that carries the womb. That is why men are different from women. Men are different from women. The part that is missing in a man is what you will find in a woman. And when they come together, they form the full complete, complementing each other. They complete each other, not compete. They come to complete. Husband and wife, wife and husband, stop competing. Your marriage is not an Olympic ceremony. It's not for Olympics. It's not, you know, Arsenal versus Chelsea. Even if you are a blue and your husband is a red, stop the competition. Listen, you are meant to be completing, not competing, complementing. A lot of marriages are breaking down because of competition, unconscious competition. I must outshine my spouse. I must show my spouse I'm better than her. Listen, man, listen to me, that man. I must show my wife I'm the head. Listen, that is nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. If all you're living for is that you must show your wife you are the head. Absolute nonsense. It's a sign of insecurity, because the head does not need to be announcing they are the head. The head behaves as the head. Listen, the head heads, not talk. You manifest and you are seen as the head. And the head does not survive without the body. We need each other. All right? Are you ready to be his bride? So we see that first, to let us see that there is a preparation, not on the wedding day, not after the wedding. The preparation has gone in years, years, and years before that marriage of the Lamb. The bride has made herself ready. You just keep making yourself ready. Listen, maybe you've been praying and praying for a spouse, but God is saying to you tonight, stop praying, start getting ready. Ready yourself, ready and ready and ready and get ready. Whoso finds a wife, listen, finds a good thing. The Bible did not say whoso finds a woman. That means that wife is ready. The wife material is what the man is looking for. And listen, boy, right? If you are not a husband material, stop looking for a wife. I'm talking to you, boy. You are still a boy, okay? You are not ready to be a husband. So stop praying for a wife. Start working on yourself now. Now, become a husband who is seeking, ready to find a ready-made also wife material. All right, So let's understand that. Are you ready? There's so many things God will be saying to us, you know, in the course of this study. So I want to end tonight on this note, and we will come back next week. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 14. Proverbs 19 and verse 14. I will pause after I read the scripture and to see if anybody, if there are comments online, comments on Slido, comments in on Facebook, comments on YouTube, and then we'll just round up. Okay? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. Houses and riches, they are an inheritance from fathers. But a big but, a prudent wife is from the Lord. You can inherit houses, you can inherit riches from your parents, but you can't inherit a wife or a husband from your parents. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, that word prudent, I wrote it down, you know, simply broken down what that word prudent means. Let me just see where I wrote it so that we will understand that word prudent, okay, comes out of preparation. You don't become prudent overnight. That word prudent is a wise, understanding, and sensible wife. Let me repeat again. A wise, understanding, and sensible. A wise, understanding, and sensible wife is from the Lord. You see, how do we become wise? How do we become sensible? How do we become understanding? Listen, this is part of the preparation. You want to become the bride of Christ? Then you've got to become like Christ. That is by being suitable for your suitor, for your bridegroom. And these are the things we'll be breaking down in the course of this study. A prudent wife. Are you prudent? Are you wise? Are you sensible? Are you understanding? Ask yourself these three questions as we close tonight. That shows your level of readiness. Wisdom, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One version also puts it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So a prudent wife is from the Lord. From the Lord. I want us to pause and meditate. So if I am going to be that bride, and by the word bride, not being sexist now, it's got to do with both male and female. Are you ready for the coming of your groom, Jesus? Are you ready to surrender? Next week, we will break it down. But I'll give us a sneak peek. A wife or a bride who will be ready, number one, will be prudent. All right? Will be a help that is suitable. So you've got to be prudent. And number two, let me just say this one, two, there are so many. You've got to be submissive, which means you are ready to submit yourself under the authority of your groom. Do you know? Next week we will see why Queen Vashti lost a role as the bride of the king, and Esther was chosen. One of the things, Queen Vashti had an independent spirit. The king, through a party, this is awesome, people. And Queen Vashti also decided to do her own party. It's all there. We'll see that in the book of Esther from next week. And when the king said, go bring Queen Vashti because I want to display her. A virtuous woman, the Bible says, a crown to her husband. A wife that the husband will always be happy to show off. Queen Vashti refused to come. Listen, if you want to be that bride that will be chosen, are you ready to be submissive to the bridegroom? God bless you tonight. Let's see at their comments, at their questions. Okay, let us see if anybody's asking questions. Can we look at the comments on, if there are no questions and there are comments, we can display the comments. God bless you all for the comments. Is it right to call your spouse baby? Okay. Very good question. Based on what we have shared tonight, okay? When you say baby, what do you mean? Because listen, one, there are very good qualities of babies. Babies are innocent. So if that's what you mean by baby, when you are calling your spouse baby, babies are very, very fresh, right? They are new. They don't keep malice. But listen, listen, babies are highly dependent. So when you are calling your spouse baby, is that the baby you mean? Because that's what you're creating. So ask yourself, what kind of baby are you calling your spouse? And if you have been calling them baby and you find out that they've just become completely, totally dependent on you, maybe it's high time to start calling them daddy. So that they can start looking after you and become more responsible. You know, it may sound comical. So just ask yourself, what baby? What part of baby? What sort of baby? You know, babe, babe, and all that. You know, I see that a lot these days. I think maybe it's the time and season we live in, but excuse me. Just ask yourself, when you're calling that name, what exactly am I calling, you know, my spouse? What baby do I mean? Is it the innocent, the fresh, the gentle, loving, you know, adorable? If that's what you mean, it's up to you. Listen, whatever you call your spouse is what they will become to you. So just know what you're calling. That's what I would say to that. Okay? Based on the context of the study tonight and what we shared. Any other questions or any other comments? All right. Can we quickly show that so that we can all enjoy the rest of tonight? Okay, if you call them baby, be prepared. I love this. Be prepared to be changing diapers. That is hilarious. Whoever made that comment. Thank you. You know, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. So let's have fun tonight. You know, the question is, what kind of baby? What aspect of the baby are you calling them? All right. Okay. Thank you. God bless you. I think that is all. Father, even in the midst of all this laughter and comical, that things may have come across tonight, speak clearly to us, to everyone. Amen. What about calling your spouse Dove? Same principle, all right? When you call Dove, are you likening them to the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the gentle Dove, the Dove that, you know, Noah The Bible tells us, let out the dove. It was a dove that actually let Noah know it was God's timing. So whatever you're just calling your spouse, just understand what you are. You know, let me just say this by the Spirit of God. You can say, wow, you are like the dove. And this aspect of the dove, rather than actually calling them dove itself. You know, so it depends. So just know what you're calling, all right? Just know what you're calling your spouse. It's very interesting because I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I just learned that principle and years of counseling, meeting couples, studying marriages, has just exposed some of these things. The problems people create for themselves in marriage is as a result of some of these principles that they seem innocent, but people don't know that you are getting what you're saying out of your spouse. You know, let me close with this scripture. When Paul was admonishing the church in Ephesus, teaching about marriage, he said, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. We'll see that in Ephesians chapter 5, maybe next week. And gave himself for her. He says, so that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water, by the word, so that he may present to himself a church without wrinkle, without spot. You know, that caught my attention. So this husband is sowing into the wife, is washing the wife by the word of the Lord, the things you say to her. Because the saints, you say to, he said ultimately to present to himself. He didn't say to present to his father. To present. So what you are sowing, what you're saying is what you're going to be presenting to yourself. That is what will appear to you, husband. That is what will appear to you, wife. Change the things you say. You know, all sorts. I'm telling you, years and years of mingling and interacting with couples. Get angry, they just call each other names, you know, they just lose it. And then they're complaining that they're not enjoying their marriage. Somebody say, yeah, baby means to me my love, sweetheart, sugar of my life. Thank you very much. Thank you for that balance. So when you say it, what do you mean? What are you creating? Because the power of our imagination, when we speak something, it becomes what you imagine. It's just a principle, people. Let's balance it. So watch what you call your spouse. Oh, my tiger. Oh, my lion. Oh, my giraffe. Oh, my chimpanzee. Oh, my snakey. Hey! All right. Father, thank you tonight. The entrance of your word gives understanding. Holy Spirit, expand. And help everyone, and help us, more importantly, to learn, to be ready, and to prepare for your coming. And Lord, you want us to yourself. You have espoused us. You want us. So Lord Jesus, I pray for as many that do not know you. Reveal yourself today. That part of you that is the bridegroom, the suitor seeking for that suitable bride. Help us. Thank you for the healing of marriages today, healing of homes, healing of relationships. Thank you for resetting. I sense the Spirit of God resetting. It's not rebooting. Rebooting is you put something off and then you start it again. It's going to come back the same. Resetting is taking it back to the original manufacturer's manual. God is resetting somebody's mind, your mindset, that high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God tonight. That mindset, that stronghold is pulled down, broken down. Your mind is reset to the word of the Lord, to the principle of the word of the Lord, and you will begin to see fruitfulness as you sow the word. The word, as Jesus explained, the parable of the sower is the word, the seed is the word. The seed you've heard tonight will reproduce in your life after its kind. and for those looking towards getting married, start preparing. Listen, I hear the Spirit of God saying, I have heard your prayers. I need your readiness and preparedness in the name of Jesus. God bless you tonight and good night. Lovely people. Bye for now.